We'll continue looking into God's Word this morning to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, and begin reading at verse 11 and continue through the end of the chapter. Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I read this scripture some time back, and there was a thought that came to me, a picture that came to me. We know the Word of God is so great and so wonderful. Many scriptures, so many different thoughts can come from that one scripture. And we seek to receive the one that God has for us at that moment, at that time, because we know that that's what we need. But what came to me was these two individuals that were serving God unrestricted, emptying this golden oil, passing this, being a conduit, if you will, of passing this precious substance, transferring it where it needed to go. And it was a beautiful picture to me, and many times when we try to convey what we feel that we perceive, we see, especially in God's Word, many times we feel we fall short. But the Lord doesn't fall short. The Lord is able to bring to us what we need, even here this morning. And I couldn't help but think of the words of a song, an old gospel hymn that's actually in our old red book, the Inspiring Hymns, called Channels Only. And I'd like to read just the first verse and chorus of this song. It says, How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. We have a picture here of a wonderful scene Zechariah was seeing. And as I read it recently, as I said, that's what came to me. And as individuals, as we set out to follow the Lord after being saved, after repenting of our sins, and we begin to follow the Lord, there's a desire to serve Him. There's a desire to be used of Him. And as we open our hearts and allow Him to come in, and then He's able to also go out also. We thank God for the Word of God. Jesus himself in Matthew or Mark chapter 5 verse 30, in the account of the woman with the issue of blood who had been suffering for a long, long time, had finally reached the Lord and knew that if she could touch the hem of his garment, that she would be whole. God revealed that to her heart, and she did her part to endeavor to press through the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, and it says that he knew immediately that virtue flew or went out of him, had gone out of him. It flowed out of him to the need that was present. He stopped the crowd. He stopped the procession. She started to get a little bit nervous. But that didn't last long. She told the Lord all that was in her heart, and he was telling her that sure, her faith is what made her whole. in the book of John, chapter 7, 38 and 39, speaking of the Spirit, Jesus prophesied that those that believe on him, that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. We thank God that the gospel has something to put inside of a person. You know, the enemy, as a person serves him, all he does is drain the person. He has nothing to put back in. His rainbow has no pot of gold at the end of it. Just an endless trail that totally wastes a person and leads them to a lost eternity. It's exactly the opposite with the Lord. And we thank God for it. Everyone that's come to him, everyone that has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, has testified otherwise. They've testified that the Lord made all the difference in their lives. In Acts 3:6, we read about Peter and John going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They were prayed up, by the way. One might think, well, why did they need to go pray again? They had all the power they needed, because in the account that followed, they see this man there that had been laid there day after day, been lame from his mother's womb, in a hopeless situation, just receiving his sustenance for this life, for sure, from those that would pass by. But God knew he needed more than that. So he sent these two that had been filled with his Spirit. And he looked upon them and they said, such as I have. Peter, I believe, said it. He said, such as I have. I don't have any silver or gold, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. He had something to offer that man that the world could not give. And as we consider biblical examples of individuals, saints of God, I thought of the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 32. He said, time would fail to tell me of these individuals that had already been mentioned, many heroes of faith. And then he starts mentioning more. He begins with Gideon. So I thought of Gideon. You know, Gideon was there. The country of Israel was oppressed by the Midianites, and they were in an awful state. Gideon was doing what he could. But one of the things he did was he loved God. He had opened his heart to God. He had done all that he could. He had walked in the light of the word of God that he had. And the Lord, the angel of the Lord came there and met him there when he was threshing that wheat. He was doing it in a very covert way, because the enemy would come and steal their food. And so he was hiding it from the Midianites, but he wasn't hidden from God. You know, those that are looking to God and those that love God, they may not be seen by the world very much, but they are seen by God. And the angel of the Lord came and saluted him and said, called him a mighty man of valor, and said that the Lord is with thee. And then, of course, Gideon began to ask some questions because he was looking on the outward circumstances. He said, you know, he knew the Lord was good. He loved God. Obviously, the angel, he doesn't say that to those that do not, but he said it to him that day. He was somebody that God had chosen, somebody that God had looked upon, and he could work through him, because Gideon wasn't a willing heart, a willing vessel. In John 15, 16, Jesus told his disciples, he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. In Matthew, the Lord spoke to them about the 12 thrones that they would sit upon. The mother of Zebedee's children was concerned about the future of her children, the status in the kingdom. Well, the Lord had told them, you're all going to sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel in the regeneration. The time of God's kingdom, his coming kingdom that we pray for. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're aiming that direction. And we thank God we have something to aim for. We have the hope of all that is before us, the promises of God. And there's so much. There's an eternity, as it were, before us. We thank God for those that have followed in that pathway, that have been chosen by God. In Isaiah 7:14, a familiar scripture about Mary. It doesn't name Mary. It just said that a virgin would conceive. and bear a son and would name him Emmanuel. He would be called Emmanuel, God with us. What a special child that would be. And the land of Israel knew that. How often they heard that, we wouldn't know. They were read the scriptures often, but you can be sure that they knew it. And there were young women that would fit that description to a point. There would be those that would want to be chosen for that. And I'm sure that many times when young girls would get together and teenagers and whatever age group there were, they would consider that they would want to be that person. What an honor to be that individual, to bring the Savior of the world into the world. Well, there was a person, we know. The angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to Mary one day when her cousin Elizabeth was 6 months along with John the Baptist, another miracle child coming to the world to proclaim the ways of the Lord, to prepare the way of the Lord, and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." She was chosen. Why was she chosen? She was chosen because she had a heart that was perfect toward God. And God has his plan. He has his ways that are higher than our ways. The Bible speaks about the foolish things of the world, that God chooses to confound the wise, the weak things of the world, to confound the things that are mighty. This world operates in a whole different mindset than God does. And the Lord was, of course, beginning to teach his disciples that, especially at that time when there was the request made for the two disciples to sit on either side of the Lord. He's saying, you know, this operates different than that. And you're going to be different than that. Your mind is going to think different than that. We think of those that God uses. One of the first qualities that is noticeable is humility. The individual is not blowing their own, tooting their own horn, if you will. They're so busy trying to serve God. They don't even have time for that anyway. They're just looking to the Lord, and those are the kinds of people that the Lord, he looks to, and he chooses them to serve him. We thank God for it. Acts 9:15, we read about an unlikely individual to be chosen. That would be Saul of Tarsus, an individual that, of course, was an enemy of the church. He's spoken of much. I know I think of him a lot, and his example of coming from out of darkness and beginning to walk in the light. He literally fell down in the light, and the Lord brought him to himself. But he let Ananias know shortly. He said, just go ahead and follow my instructions regarding him, because he's a chosen vessel unto me. God had his eye upon Saul. He knew that down in Saul's heart, in spite of all of the religious covering he had, all of the knowledge he had, all of the wrong thinking he had, that somewhere down in there was a desire to please God. And God, he worked mightily through Paul. You can't hardly believe, it's hard to believe what God took him through in the path of his service to God. Incredible. But another one of examples of those who yielded themselves to God, served God. God chose them because they chose him. In the book of Matthew, in the parable of the talents, it's mentioned there about those talents given to those individuals according to their several ability. You know, I think of the scripture often when I see different people, think of how I am, how others are, and different abilities people have. And I think of where it was Paul, I believe, again, in one of his epistles where he said, "Who makes thee to differ from another?" You know, God made us as we are. God made us. Of course, there's a cultivating of talents, of abilities, especially Godward, that we certainly should do to better ourselves. But basically, an individual, they're given, they are who they are. And God expects more out of those to whom he gives more. He said, "Unto whom much is given, much shall be required. I think of that too when I think of being raised in this gospel, in this church. I tell people a lot of times, if I tell them any of my history, I'll even go into some detail of how that, you know, we were down living in Medford, Oregon, in a new home out in the country. And my dad heard there was a need in Portland for a church mechanic here on the campgrounds. And we packed up lock, stock, and barrel. And I was 6 years old. We came up about the time of the Six-Day War in Jerusalem. Things were getting pretty fired up around here. Around then, we came in the summer and moved here so that Dad could work for the church. And I remember that very, very well. Well, that put me right in the lap of the gospel. The downtown church. Going down there early in the weeknight meeting, standing around by the track rack, reading the tracks, and all that I saw. And I shudder to think sometimes of the light that I have, the glory that I've seen and felt, the spirit that you can't even put into words, what you really sense, the gospel, the Christian home being raised in that's different from your friends' homes, right in the neighborhood, and they know it too. They knew enough about my home that we were different. But we thank God because it's the gospel, and we thank God for the gospel. Paul spoke about reaping sparingly and sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly because a person sows that way and reaping bountifully because they sow bountifully. We know that an individual that sets out to offer themselves to the Lord, they certainly don't come and say, God, I just want to be I want to do this minimally. You know, there's people that want to be minimalists as far as how their life goes and the things they have and be able to have a simple life. But when it comes to serving God, a person wants to go all the way and to say, Lord, whatever you would have me to do, I don't want to put any restrictions here. I want you to be able to flow right through me and to be able to fulfill your will in however you choose. I thought about doing our best for the Lord. And again, I couldn't help but think of part of a gospel hymn, Our Best. The last verse of the chorus, and just thinking back to that several ability, it says, our talents may be few. These may be small, but unto him is due our best and our all. That's all God wants us to do. You know, there's a principle there that I applied one time. I had some family movies of my children, especially as they begin to walk into different things and different life scenarios in those earlier days. And they were on old Super 8 film, and I wanted to have them put over onto something more modern. So I heard of this wonderful photography place that, you know, they're a good place. They're good people and they're well known, and, you know, they're going to take care of it. They're going to do a good job. So I took my precious films to them, and I, you know, wanted to have them transferred over to VHS, I believe, at that time. Well, things didn't turn out so good because I knew those movies like the back of my hand. We used to play these little 50 foot films. We'd run them through the projector, and I just knew them very well. Well, there were some serious problems. And it meant a lot to me. I like to watch them periodically with the family, and we just laugh and just think about all the blessings too and all the things of life that we had gone through. Well, finally, after getting quite stressed out dealing with that situation, trying to get it corrected, I finally asked the person that I was dealing with. I said, I'm reaching out to the Lord. You know, God help me as a Christian to be able to have the victory here. I just asked him, I said, did you do your best? And he said, yes. I said, that's good enough. That's it. That's it. You know, God wants our best. That's all he wants from you is your best. You may feel that you're this or you're that, or some people feel that maybe they're too much. Well, God has ways to bring them. He'll get them trimmed down to size. But the main thing is that we give our best. Because if we can say we've done that, I'll tell you what, when people are seeking God for an experience, I think that's a point many times they reach. They do all they know to do. Their friends have told them. The ministers have told them. And they've done it all. And they finally could say, Lord, I've done all my know to do, and I've done my best. And it seems like it, right there at that moment of desperation and hunger, God comes right down and okay, they've done it. They've done their best. And it seems like a person can know that they've done all they know to do. God will do his part in his great faithful and mercy. You know, when it comes to reaping, again, we wouldn't ever preach to someone to put any restrictions on their service to God, because it would just be the wrong mindset for what the Lord said we need to do in loving him with all of our heart and serving him the best we can. But we know that God is faithful. And I heard the words of a song recently. It was a song I'd never heard before. And the person said, I'm reaping better than I've sown. You know, sometimes we feel unworthy of God's goodness to us. I think of that sometimes in my own life when I talk about certain things. I think, you know, God has been good to me. He has been good when I think of things shouldn't be as good as they are. Well, I think it kind of goes along with that thought that man was trying to convey when he sang those words, I'm reaping better than I've sown. Well, when it comes to being chosen, we know that God calls all to salvation. Jesus said in Matthew 22:14, a very familiar verse, many are called, but few are chosen. Why are so few chosen? Because they just won't let God lead them to salvation. They won't be chosen. They choose not to be chosen. We know it's the will of man that stands in their way to be saved. And the Lord spoke those words as a warning, but also for someone to say, you know what, I'm going to determine that I'm chosen by God. Revelation 17:14. We find that there's a group of individuals that are going to come back with the Lord during that time, at the end of this age, the end of the tribulation period. And one of the qualities, the characteristics of those individuals that they are called and chosen and faithful. They're a group of people that are the best. You know, this world, they look for the best in certain things, but we know that God has his ways of finding the best, of making the best. He works in our hearts. You know, I thought about, the Bible speaks about, referring to the house of Jacob in Isaiah 48:10, it speaks about, I have tried thee, but not with silver. He said, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. When a person's going through trials and tribulations, God's watching. And so are others. And the Lord is looking for some qualities there to be able to come forth that he knows can come forth. If that individual will just go according to God's instructions, there's a beauty, there's a refinement, there's something there that he highly values in a child of God that has been following him, and we thank God for it. Well, God's keeping track. There's a book of remembrance that we speak of sometimes. It speaks about it over in Malachi, a book of remembrance of those. It says, and they that knew the Lord, they spoke often one to another. And you know, a person might think, well, you know, we talk a lot one to another nowadays. People are texting a lot and they're calling and they're emailing and they're, and I think, well, isn't that? Is it just that? But, you know, as you read those scriptures right there, those verses, we find out that they thought upon his name. So who are they? They're probably talking about the Lord an awful lot. That's who they're talking about. I remember after I first got saved, that's what I wanted to talk about. This Savior that saved me, that did this miraculous work in my life. Well, the Lord said he's going to make those people his jewels. He's going to spare them as a man spares his son. He's coming for them. He's coming for those that love him, those that have chosen him. He's chosen them. He called them first of all. You know, when we're lost in sin, we're hopeless. Except the good shepherd go out there in the wilderness and seek us out. We're never coming home. But thank God he did that. Thank God he came all the way to this earth to die for our sins, to bring us into this wonderful light, to save us, to sanctify us, to fill us. He calls all to these things to be filled with his Spirit. That individual that will just open up to God and not let anything stand between, he's going to fill them. I remember not long after I was sanctified, it's a long story as far as some of those details go, but anyway, I was sanctified. Well, it wasn't long after that I had this experience. I was just seeking God. I wasn't even asking to be baptized. Well, you know, it's a progressive thing. You get saved, and then that inner nature at sanctification gets eradicated through the precious blood, the cleansing blood, and you're ready for the Spirit of God right then. You're ready right then. I think some of the enemy would have to, oh no, not yet. It can't be yet. You know, I've got to figure more things out. I've got to go to church 20 or 30 more times or 100 more times. Whatever it is that would come to a person's mind. But they are ready right at that split second to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. Well, the Holy Spirit came down and, oh wow, it was amazing. And I had a little taste there. Well, thank God. Because things were ready for that. And you know, as we open our hearts to the Lord, He will fill us. He wants to do that today. He has much to give. We have our life to give Him. And we thank God He's given us something to give the Lord. We want to love Him with all of our hearts. Open our hearts to Him today. The altar of prayer is open. The Lord is the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We talk about what He's done in the past. Folks, this thing is revving up. This thing is read the word. What's coming is greater and more wonderful and glorious and mighty. But the old enemy, he just wants to quiet things down. He wants to slow us down. He doesn't want us to draw nigh unto God. His whole job is to steer us away from the Lord. Well, if we won't have that, God won't either. And the Lord wants to come and fill us today. So may He have His way as we come to Him in prayer. 593 is our song. The altar of prayer is open.